Hi friends, my name is Paola Sanchez. I'm the Executive Director of Resources for Women. Even though so many things are different and so many things have changed, God's love, faithfulness, and heart that He has for these babies and moms and families facing unplanned pregnancies hasn't changed. And through this season, we've seen our clients making really courageous decisions. We've seen them saying yes to life. We have seen them canceling abortion appointments, driving all the way to abortion clinics to get to the door and say, I'm not gonna do this, turning around and coming back. We have seen them standing up to boyfriends, husbands, family members that were pressuring them to have an abortion. And we have seen them choosing life. It takes courage to say yes, but so many women said yes to life this year. This wouldn't be possible without your support. So thank you. Thank you, friends. Thank you, pastors and churches and families and all of you that support this ministry financially, through prayer, through donations. We couldn't do it without you. Your support saves lives.
Hey Crossroads, we invite you to take part in supporting Resources for Women's Ministry by participating in this year's Baby Bottle Drive. As you leave today, you can pick up a baby bottle in the Connection Center, fill it up with change, cash, check, and drop it off Sunday, June 20th on Father's Day. You can also give online by scanning the QR code on your handout or by going to freepregtestdaytona.com/support. Click on the Give Now button and designate your gift to Crossroads Church Baby Bottle Drive Fund. We are so excited to partner with Resources for Women so they can continue to provide a compassionate and Christ-centered response to women experiencing unplanned pregnancy in our area. Thank you so much for your support and being a light in our community.
Isn't that awesome? Amen. Good job, Monica. Good job, Monica. Yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic. We try to piggyback onto local ministries that we can and help them and be a blessing to them as a church. And give them our support. We're thankful for these local ministries like Resources for Women that are helping our community so much, and they're helping families and they're helping people. And so we've done this now, I think, our third year to do this. So pick up a baby bottle and you say, well, I don't really want to do that. That's fine. You can still give. And every penny of that goes to them. None of it stays here. So we just want to be a blessing to this organization. And so go to Proverbs 31 this morning, Proverbs 31. And while you're turning there, it's great, you know, Mother's Day, my mom is probably watching, I'm sure, online. She watches every Sunday. This is the service that we broadcast. So Mom, hi, Mom, watching from Missouri, and I'm so proud of her and the mom that she is. She's a Southern mom. She's from Louisiana. She's a Southern belle. And she raised me like a Southern mom. Anybody in here raised by a Southern mom? Raise your hand if you got a Southern mom. I read something funny, and it had little things that you probably heard if you were raised by a Southern mom. And at the very top of the list was, y'all quit. Y'all quit. I heard that a lot when me and my brothers would fight. Y'all quit. And then the second one was, get back over here. Get out of that. How about this one? I'm going to get that switch. I thought this one was one I heard a lot, and you might have heard this one too. You would say why, and your Southern mom would say, because I said so, that's why. How many of you ever heard that one? Because I said so, that's why. Blow it off, it ain't dirty. Right? Blow it off, it ain't dirty. My mom had one that wasn't on the list here, but she had one that she used to tell me when I grew up. And whenever she would tell me to do something, and I would say, "Oh, Mom, do I have to?" She would look at me and she'd say, "Son, I can't make you do it, but I can make you wish you had." Okay, Mom, I'll do it. She used that one a lot. "I can't make you do it, but I can make you wish you had." And I'm sure she used that one, got that one from her mom and dad, you know. But Mom is something else, I tell you. She's a character. She still is. Got such a good sense of humor all these years later. But, you know, if I was to ask each of you what the word mother means to you, I'm sure that we would get a variety of answers. I read this and I thought it was really good. Tell me if you agree with some of these. It says, "Mothers believe in us more than we believe in ourselves. Mothers do more for us than they do for themselves. Mothers worry about us more than we realize. They pray for us more than we'll ever know. They value us more than anything else in the world. They give us more than they can afford. They love us more than anyone else can. And they matter more than words can express." Y'all agree with that? So true, isn't it? And here in this text, Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10, the writer here in Proverbs lays out for us the picture of a great wife and a great mother, and he used the term virtuous. Look at verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous woman?" And if you look up the word virtuous, it's interesting that that word virtuous, it literally means a force. Some of you are like, "My wife is a force, all right, let me tell you." The idea of this passage is that this woman here he's describing is a very powerful force for God and for good. I'll tell you right off the bat, virtuous doesn't mean perfect. No lady is perfect, you know, and no lady is going to always 100% of the time look like the woman described in this text. You're going to have bad moments and bad days, and you're going to have times that you wish you'd forget, you know, and that's just normal. That's part of being a mom. You're going to have bad days and bad moments. But this text shows for us what a Spirit-filled woman looks like. It reveals what a lady looks like who's filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And that's a good thing, right? Because the fruit of the Spirit is what we've been studying this year, and it's not on the screens up here. How many of you could name all 9 fruit of the Spirit without cheating? Without it being on the screens up here. Does anybody remember the first one? Oh, wow, I feel like a success, let me tell you. You guys got it. Love is the top of the fruit, right? Love is the fruit of the Spirit. And then after love comes what? Joy. And then what was next? Love, joy, peace, right? And then the next one's easy because it's P also. You got peace and then you got patience, right? Then comes the 2 G's, right? And that is gentleness, which means kindness, and goodness, which we haven't got to goodness yet. We'll start next week. And then the last 3, anybody remember? What's the next one? Faith, meekness, self-control, or temperance, right? So those are your 9 fruit, and we've been studying that. And ladies, the thing is this. You can't be the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, but Christ can do it through you as you yield to him and you trust him to live his life through you. A side note, men, if you want to know how to choose a wife, you'd probably be wise to study this passage. You want a lady who at least is, you know, trying to resemble this Proverbs 31 woman. And, you know, you're probably not going to find this woman, a Proverbs 31 woman, at the local bar or the nightclub, all right? Your best chance to find a woman like this is in church, amen? Meet her in church, find her. I know some of us, you know, that's not how we met, but yet I think our young people would need to know that you're going to be your best opportunity to find a Proverbs 31. And by the way, the best way to find a Proverbs 31 wife is to become a 1 Timothy 3 man. Because 1 Timothy 3 describes what a godly man is like. And the best way to get a Proverbs 31 woman is to become a 1 Timothy 3 man, because you're going to probably get what you are. Usually when you marry, that's kind of it. You're going to get what you are. And there's exceptions to that, but I'm just saying, typically that you're going to gravitate, you know, to someone who's like where you're at and the kind of person you are. So you'd be wise, guys, also to not tune me out today and think I got the Sunday off. It's Mother's Day. He's going to preach to the women. You'd be wise to listen, especially if you're not married, because this is what you're looking for. All right, let's look at it. Verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her worth is far above rubies?" I want you to write that in your handout. Is number one, she has great worth. A Proverbs 31 woman has great worth. And it says that her price is far above rubies. If you can get a spirit-filled Proverbs 31 woman, you found a treasure. You found a treasure. So hang on to her, because she's very valuable. Proverbs 19 says, "A prudent wife is from the Lord. She's greater than houses, and she's greater than riches." And now notice, though, that her value is not in her outward charm, but in her inner virtue. Look at it again, verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her worth is far above rubies?" Now that's interesting that he uses that jewel, rubies. Everybody wants diamonds, but diamonds, what diamonds do is they catch and then they reflect light. But the ruby's beauty comes from the inside. There's an inner glow. And so he's making a point here, and that is that her beauty comes from within. Don't misunderstand me. Outward beauty is fine. And I think that, you know, there needs to be that attraction. You know, when you marry someone, there needs to be that attraction. But that doesn't need to be all there is. And that's the problem many times, is that's all there is just an outward attraction. And, you know, we live in a culture today that really emphasizes that. And we live in a culture that likes to define what outward beauty is. And then they like to make it the main thing. And I would hate to be a young girl growing up in this culture today, with social media and all the expectations, you know, that are placed on girls today of, hey, if you're going to be beautiful, this is the way you have to look. You know, and it's like, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like, you know, you have to look this certain way, and you have to have your hair this certain way, and you got to wear these clothes, and your lips have to be like this, and your legs have to look like this, and your shape has to be like this, and your eyebrows have to look like that, and your fingernails have to look like this, and your you know, I don't know, maybe probably even toenails got to look a certain way, I don't know. But, you know, it's like culture puts all these expectations. This is the way you got to look if you're going to be pretty. If you're going to be outwardly beautiful, this is the way you got to look, you know. And they put all these expectations on girls today that they're not, you know, girls aren't going to be able to meet all those expectations, but yet they feel empty and they feel so worthless because they can't meet all these expectations that culture says this is what beauty really is, you know. And the thing is this, though, is that outward beauty is okay, but I'm telling you right now, it can quickly and easily fade away. But true virtue and true beauty comes from within. And my point is this, is that, yeah, you want to be attracted to that other person, but you need to fall in love with the person. Not just the face, not just their outward looks, but what kind of person are they? Do you like being around them? Do you respect them? Well, no, I don't respect her, but boy, she's hot. I had people tell me that. I mean, I've done premarital counseling, and, you know, you'll ask in premarital counseling, why do you want to marry her? Why do you want to marry him? Right? Just to find out what their motives are. And one time I asked a guy, like, why do you want to marry her? You know what his answer was? Look at her. She's gorgeous. And I wanted to say, come back and talk to me in 10 years and let me know how that worked out. If that's all there is, just let me know how that worked out. Well, I don't think they made it 10 years. Serious. I'm being serious. You know, and the problem is, you know, many times there's no soul, there's no spirit connection. It's all just physical. And so it doesn't last. And the word, when it says it's a virtuous woman, notice he didn't just say, who can find a beautiful woman? Right? Dime a dozen. I mean, a lot of pretty girls. But who can find a virtuous woman? See, that carries the idea of moral strength. And the word actually means moral strength, valor, a woman of character. What we have studied, you know, think about the fruit of the Spirit we've been studying this year. What's the fruit of the Spirit about? It's all about what kind of person we are, not what we do. It deals with our character, what we are on the inside. And what we do proceeds from our inner character. So, like, if some of you are still at the dating stage, you should be asking questions like, is she a virtuous woman with moral character? Do I see the fruit of the Spirit in her life? Is she kind? Is she full of goodness? Is she full of faith? If so, Proverbs says she's of great worth. Why? Why is she of great worth? Look at verse 11. It says, the reason why she's of great worth, it says, the heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so that he will have no lack of gain. You know why a woman like this is worth so much? It's because she's a woman you can trust. You can trust her when you're not with her. You can trust her with the bank account or the credit card. You can trust her when things get tough. She's wise, honest, loyal, and prudent. And the man doesn't have to work himself silly to support her wasteful spending and her luxurious lifestyle. The Bible says in verse 12, look at it. Let's go down to verse 12. He says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know what that is when it says she will do him good? That's the fruit of goodness. We're going to start studying that next Sunday. That's the fruit of goodness. She does him good all the days of her life. That's significant. Because some women, their character is such that when things get rough and money is scarce, or he gets hurt, or he loses his job, or he loses his looks, he's not a hunk anymore. Instead of a hunk, he's a chump, right? And when things get rough and money is scarce, or he doesn't look the way he did, they're gone. They latch onto another man. It happens all the time. She's not a virtuous woman, see? But the virtuous woman is industrious. She uses financial wisdom to help her husband. Look at verse 16. It says, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She clothes herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle does not go out by night. What does that mean? She just uses wisdom to help him. She does him good. There's a goodness about her that comes from God's Spirit inside of her. A Proverbs 31 woman has great worth. Why? Because her husband can trust her. And in your handout, it says she does him good all the days of her life. She is filled with the fruit of goodness. She's filled with the fruit of goodness. Now, let's look at the second thing. The second principle we see here in Proverbs about the Proverbs 31 woman is, number two, she works hard. You know, if a woman is a wife and a mother and does it right, it is hard work. Guys, y'all could have made brownie points if you'd have given me a loud amen right there. Women aren't going to say amen to that, I don't think, because they don't want to toot their own horn. I almost said tout their own horn. But if a woman, I'll give you another chance, guys. If a woman's a wife and a mother and does it right, it's hard work. It is hard work. I've heard people ask ladies this question. By the way, isn't it funny? Young girls, you know, they get married and they want a baby. And babies are great. But you know what? When you've never been a mother, you really don't realize that babies are spelled W-O-R-K. They just look at the glamour of it. It's work. And they find that out soon. And the second one, they know what to expect, right? But the first one, they don't really know. But I've heard people ask ladies the question, do you work or are you a stay-at-home mother? I don't care how you cut it, it's just work, amen? Listen, whether you're working a job outside the home or whether you're staying home taking care of those toddlers and those little kids all day long, it is work, amen? Listen, there's a reason why daycares charge to take care of your kids, all right? There's a reason why they charge. They don't just put up a sign, please let us take care of your kids, because it's just so much fun. They charge you because it is work, all right? And so, you know, any way you cut it, you know, it's just hard work. And I don't think most of us men have any clue how much work is involved in being a wife and a mother. And like 1 Timothy 5 says, they guide the home. Boy, they do. They are the glue that keeps everything stuck together. I love verse 27. Let's go down there. Verse 27. It says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, what that's saying is that she's not lazy. She's an industrious, hard worker. She's disciplined. And by the way, that corresponds with the fruit of the Spirit. We haven't studied it yet, but it's the last one, self-control or temperance. You know what that is, basically? It's doing what you ought to do instead of what you want to do. That's what it is. It's living a disciplined life. It's working hard, keeping a schedule, you know, keeping everybody on track, which is, you know, what moms do. They keep everybody on track. You know, and like I said, it's doing what you ought to do instead of what you want to do. And that takes temperance. That takes self-control. And the idea here of the scripture is that she takes very serious her, you know, taking care of her husband and taking care of the kids in the home. She takes that very serious. You know, she's not lazy. And, you know, laziness is something that has been a problem throughout the years and cultures. Paul talked about how lazy the people on the island of Crete were, and they were known for being lazy. And, you know, I think that in our culture today, I think we've been known as a culture of very hardworking people, and if you work hard in America, you know, you can do well. If you work hard and you're willing to put in the hours and you're willing to give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, anybody can make it in the United States of America. But I think laziness is becoming an increasing problem in our country. And I think that one of the reasons for that is there's just, you know, so much more than 100 years ago. There's just fun stuff to do. I mean, there's just all this stuff, you know, that's fun. And so people really don't want to work. They just kind of want to have fun, you know. And a lot of girls, I think, too, are raised. We're a very prosperous country. So a lot of girls are raised up where pretty much everything's done for them, you know, and everyone picks up after them, and they have everything done for them, given to them. They don't, you know, and so I think that just kind of plays into all that, the prosperousness of our country. So laziness can become an issue, definitely, in our culture today. So when you find a woman who's a hard worker and a woman who looks well to her home and her family, you have found a gem. You found a gem. You found an exception to the rule. You know, and I know I have. I mean, Denise, who's sitting over here, has always been such a blessing in that way. She's such a hard worker, you know, and such a support and a help to me. I know, like, you know, a lot of pastors' wives with three services, she'd be there one of them. If you ever don't see her, she's here. She's working over in the children's ministry or serving somewhere. But she's here, you know, up at 6:30. She's here at, you know, 8 in the morning. Well, this morning it was 8:05, I guess. Yeah, she was running a little late. But we did have some stuff going on this week, didn't we? I said, you've heard of jet lag? We're having wedding lag. But Denise has been such a blessing in that way. She keeps our home running on all cylinders. You know, I remember when the kids were growing up. It's so funny. When our boys were growing up, some of you may associate with this, guys. When I would get sick or I was out of commission, the home never missed a beat. They kind of just really wanted me to stay out of the way. Dad, just go to the bedroom, crawl in the bed, close the door, stay out of our way, just moan and groan in there alone, okay? We're all fine, okay? We're good. But when Denise went down and got sick, everything fell apart. We didn't know what to do. We were all lost, you know? It's like everything came to a screeching halt. She's laying in bed. And I go in, honey, what? It's lunchtime. We don't know what to do. Just make a sandwich. Just make a sandwich. Come on, kids. Let's go to McDonald's. Right? I don't even want to have to make a sandwich, you know. But it's happy meal time. But she's a hard worker. A virtuous woman has great worth because her virtue comes from within. There's not an out, just something that's just a pretty face. And boy, she looks like social media says she's supposed to look. No, there's an inner virtue. There's a moral character. There's some substance behind that face, you know? There's something to her. And then she's a hard worker. And then number three, she's full of kindness. She's full of kindness. Of course, that's the fruit of the Spirit that we've been talking about the last 3 weeks. Gentleness, kindness. It's love in action. How is she kind? Well, number one, if you're taking notes in your handout, how is she kind? Number one, she ministers to others. She's got a servant's heart. You look at verse number 20 and notice that. Skip down and look at verse 20. It says that she stretches. Rob, can we turn the air up? I'm freezing. Is anybody else cold? Yes. Okay, let's turn. Yeah, everyone's cold. Let's bump it up. Whew. I never get cold. I'm usually sweating up here. And my hands, I'm like, I need some gloves this morning or something. All right, verse number 20. It says she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. What is that saying? It's saying that a Proverbs 31 woman is not a self-centered woman. She's gracious. She's a giving woman. She looks to meet needs. She wants to minister to hurting people. Her attitude is not, what about me? Although we all have moments like that. I know. But by and large, when you look at her as a whole, her attitude is not, what about me? It's, what can I do for others? And there's a word for that. And it's the word kindness. And that's a fruit of the Spirit. That's something God has to do in you, make you kind. Kind people look to the needs of others more than themselves. And a Proverbs 31 woman has a gentleness and a kindness about her. She's got a heart to serve, not be served. And again, it's very common today. You know, I think a lot of young ladies that are growing up struggle with this because they're so used to being served. They're so used to being served. And I don't know that a lot of them are learning from their mom and from their parents, from culture, to serve. And not always expect to be served. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Very rare to find that today. Very rare. She ministers to others. She's got a heart to serve. I'm so thankful. You know, Colin was talking about our youth group. And we appreciate so much this young man filling in today for us with our drummers and backup drummers out of town today. But Colin was mentioning our youth ministry and just, you know, what a great place for teenagers to learn. If your teenager is in the church and not plugged into the youth group, you really ought to get them plugged into the youth group. Because that's where they're going to really learn how to serve. And so many of our teenagers serve in ministries. They're learning to serve and not just be served. And that's an awesome thing. And you know, these young people up here serving in the band, and then young people next door serving in children's ministry, and young people serving in the Walk Through Bethlehem, and young people serving in our First Impressions ministry, and they're learning to serve and not just expect to be served. It's a wonderful thing. But number two, the second way she's kind is that her tongue is full of gracious words. There's a grace about the way she talks. Look at verse 26. Verse 26. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the teaching of kindness. So the idea here is that a Proverbs 31 woman is not going to use her tongue to lash out as a weapon. She's not going to use her tongue like a weapon to lash out at her family, to lash out at other people. Not that, again, that you're not going to have bad moments when you wish you could take back your words. Who hasn't done that? We're all human. But as a rule, she's very kind in the way she talks. You know, this is a fruit of the Spirit. It comes from an inner peace, really. The peace and kindness kind of go together with the tongue, because people who use their tongue to always lash out and tear down and destroy, usually they're insecure. They lack peace inside. So they need to be praying about that. Lord, give me that inner peace so that I can use my tongue for graciousness. The Bible says that, you know, the tongue is a fire. What image do you get when you think of the tongue being a fire? A dragon. Me too. Yep, a dragon. I think about a dragon spitting out fire, right? And I mean, truly, that is a way your tongue can be used. It can be used to scorch those around you. I mean, like a dragon. I mean, listen, you get a mad, mean woman with a sharp tongue, look out. Look out. What does the proverb say? It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with an angry and contentious woman. Not a good place to say amen. But listen, when mama's mad and angry, you're better off up on the housetop, amen. You don't want to be in the house. But yeah, so can a fire be used for good though? Can a fire be something good? Yeah, the tongue is a fire. But wait a minute. A fire can bring warmth and beauty, right? So a tongue can be used to rekindle flames of romance or love. Your tongue can be used to destroy things or build things up. A Proverbs 31 woman, in her tongue, the Bible says, in her tongue is the teaching of kindness, the law of kindness. She is teaching her children also to talk kind. To be kind. You know, don't let your kids talk mean. You know? I know kids are going to do that. They're going to talk hatefully as siblings to each other. You don't have to allow it. You don't have to act like it's normal. You know, in her tongue is the teaching of kindness. She wants to teach her kids to talk nice, to be kind at all times. Don't let your children disrespect you. Don't let them talk hatefully to your parents. Don't let them talk hatefully to their friends or talk hatefully to their siblings. In her tongue is the teaching of kindness. Let me give you the last thing. Number four is the virtuous woman is full of faith. I want you to look at verse 30. This is the last thing. Stay with me. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. What a wise statement. Whew. That is a great state. That's just, the Bible is such an amazing book. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Right? Some women are charming. They tell you exactly what you want to hear, especially when they're dating you. Man, they can pour on the charm. Be just charming and outgoing and so nice and so kind. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. To fear the Lord means that a person has great respect for God, and they don't treat God in a casual or flippant way. Like right now, some of you are so serious about listening. You're serious about getting a hold of this. You're serious about God and your relationship with God. It's funny because you could just tell some people are like hanging on this. They want this. I was like, I want what God has for me here today. There's such a respect for God. And then, you know, the Proverbs 31 woman, she wants to know God. She wants to follow his ways, believing that God's ways are the best. She's full of faith. She trusts Christ. She depends on Christ daily. She teaches her children to have that same respect for God. And the Proverbs 31 woman has a personal faith. It's not her husband's faith. It's not her parents' faith. It's not her pastor's faith. It's not her friend's faith. No, it's her own personal faith and walk with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that a woman like that shall be praised. In verse 28, who is she praised by? Look at verse 28. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Boy, I tell you what, man, your kids, you can't fool your kids. Your kids have seen firsthand, right, that love for God. They've seen her respect and her honor for God, and they want to give that same thing back to her. Her husband praises her. If he's smart, he gets it, right? If he's got something up here, he knows what he's got, and her husband can't praise her enough. Would you guys agree with me? America needs some godly, chaste, virtuous mothers and ladies. Amen. And when you get one, hold on to her. And you know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I thought so much of what wives and moms do is done in secret. In other words, nobody sees it. Nobody applauds them. Many times their families don't even know all that they do. I know that's true. I know that is so true. So much of what's done is done in secret, right? Nobody sees it. No, the world doesn't appreciate it. The world doesn't know about it. They have no clue. I mean, I don't ever remember my wife going out on our street and like waving a banner going, hey, everybody, I'm doing laundry and cleaning underwear again. Hey, everybody, I'm mopping the floors and vacuuming. Everybody watch. Nobody sees it. Many times our own family, right, they don't even see it. They don't know all that you do. But somebody does. Somebody does. God sees it. And God will reward you accordingly. And I want to encourage you moms in that. Because it's easy to feel not appreciated. One day a year is not enough to appreciate our moms and all that they do. So we need to do it all year. But many times it just doesn't happen. We take it for granted. I open up that drawer and there's clean clothes again. I'm like, wow. You know, but we can take that for granted. And, you know, Matthew 6:4, look at this verse on the screen. It says that your charitable deeds may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And I believe all those who have been faithful moms, taking care of their families. So much of what they do, nobody ever sees or applauds it. But I believe there's a special reward in heaven for those moms. Amen. And God himself will reward you openly. Thank you, moms. Let's pray right now.